Well, let's take a look now at the international implications of what President Trump said last night in his State of the Union address. For example, here's the president laying out his view of America's role on the world stage.
Around the world, we face rogue regimes, terrorist groups, and rivals like China and Russia that challenge our interests, our economy, and our values. In confronting these horrible dangers, we know that weakness is the surest path to conflict, and unmatched power is the surest means to our true and great defense.
Well, joining me now is James Stavridis. He's the dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. He's a retired admiral as well, who served as Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe. He's with us today from Australia via Skype. Dean Stavridis, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Always great to be with you, Magna.
Hope the weather down there is treating you better than we've got up here. But first of all, let me just ask you, the president's State of the Union address last night seems very heavy on domestic policy. There was some foreign policy, but what did you make of it?
Exactly as you say, I was actually very surprised to hear so little about our allies, our partnerships around the world. And indeed, he was probably 90% plus, maybe even a bit higher on domestic policy. Understandable that he wants to push those kinds of issues. But let's face it, it's a big world out there. It's got both opportunity and challenges. I was here in Australia, and the Australians I've spoken with were disappointed that there was no real feel for the world other than perhaps as a bit of a threat.
Interesting, because the words, for example, multilateral, alliance, human rights, Europe, none of that came up in his speech.
Indeed. And I'll tell you a couple other big misses from my perspective. One is climate, which I continue to believe is a major security challenge, as well as an obvious global challenge.
But Dean Stavridis, if I could just jump in here, I mean, could we realistically expect the president to talk at all about climate? I mean, he pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accords.
He did. And I object to that not only on the climate piece, Magna, but also on the global leadership piece. Yeah. That's what's really concerning. So nothing on climate, nothing on cyber, a global challenge, nothing on anything having to do with trade agreements broadly negotiated. Again, he pulled us out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but the overall State of the Union just was a walk away from global U.S. leadership. That's very concerning.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at Ross Douthat from the New York Times, and his take was, quote, apart from the Islamic State, North Korea, and Guantanamo Bay, the foreign policy section was strikingly empty. America first, he says, it seems, means not having to bore viewers by bringing up anything about the world beyond our shores. All right, but let's talk about what he did say about North Korea, because I want to get your take on this, Dean Stavridis. The president did say that the United States is waging a campaign of maximum pressure against the North Korean regime.
Past experience has taught us that complacency and concessions only invite aggression and provocation. I will not repeat the mistakes of past administrations that got us into this very dangerous position.
Your reaction to that?
It's good to put pressure on North Korea, and we should be doing that in concert with allies, partners, and friends, and we should be pushing China to help us build sanctions and continue the pressure to drive them to the negotiating table. What I worry about is a lot of back-channel conversation about taking a preemptive strike option. This is sometimes called the bloody their nose option.
Right.
I worry deeply that that could lead to escalation. And by the way, Magna, we still have no U.S. ambassador in South Korea. Also very worrisome. I feel we're drifting toward a military option, and that is not where we want to be with North Korea.
I mean, to that point, Dean Stavridis, in the Washington Post today, Victor Cha, who had been the administration's pick to be U.S. ambassador to South Korea, wrote that, in his view, a preemptive strike against North Korea would not achieve the goal of nuclear disarmament. I mean, the very same view that I think lost him the position of ambassador.
That's exactly right. And he is correct. Because of our inability to control escalation, once we take a shot at North Korea preemptively, it would be the wrong move, and I hope the administration does not go there.
So I have to wonder how America's allies around the world really look at a speech like this. And let's examine that question through the lens of one particular portion. And it's where the president mentioned that the United States government recognition of when it recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And he said that following that, many countries in the United Nations passed a non-binding resolution. In fact, more than 190 countries voted for this non-binding resolution. Calling on other countries not to also recognize Jerusalem as the Israeli capital. And here's what the president said.
In 2016, American taxpayers generously sent those same countries more than $20 billion in aid. That is why tonight I am asking Congress to pass legislation to help ensure American foreign assistance dollars always serve American interests and only go to friends of America, not enemies of America.
So that was well received by portions of the chamber last night, but internationally, how does that sound?
Sounds very badly, because we give foreign aid not to reward our friends. We do it to change the minds of those who are not our enemies, but those who we want to influence. And this is really part and parcel of the administration's general war on diplomacy, war on the State Department. We've seen plummeting applications of young people to join our foreign service. And here's the point, Meg, that this is not big money. This is very targeted resources that can avoid conflict, avoid war, create real deterrence. So this is a mistake. And it is also why, if you look at approval ratings of this administration of the United States globally, they've roughly been cut in half from over 50% to now around 30% approval. This is not a good position for the United States, and it's going to, again, force us to rely more on the military instrument, less on diplomacy. That's not a good place for the country to be headed.
Well, James Stavridis, you're in Australia today, talking to us. I really appreciate you doing that. But you mentioned a little bit earlier in the beginning of our conversation that you were talking to folks there about their reaction to the president. I mean, tell us more. What are people internationally saying?
They are concerned above all about unpredictability, and they see the disconnect between our policies as they are enacted on the ground and what comes out in tweets. Here's a practical example. And here in Australia, they worry because it's a Pacific country,
right,
very much about North Korea. So they worry when they see the president tweeting to the Secretary of State, as he did about a month ago, "Hey, stop wasting your time on diplomacy, Rex." At the same time, we're talking about a bloody the nose option. All of that is disconnected and very concerning, and I think that's a real takeaway. Lastly, you mentioned the wall in one of your earlier conversations. Look, we need to control our border. Got it. But here's a newsflash, Magna. You can build a 30-foot wall across 2,000 miles. Right to the left of the wall is an ocean. You're not going to be able to simply cut off that border, and it gives a terrible diplomatic feel to those nations to the south. Those are the kind of things that concern people internationally.
Well, James Stavridis is the dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. He's also a retired admiral and former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, joining us today via Skype from Australia. James Stavridis, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much.
Thanks a lot, Magna. Talk again soon.
We'll be back. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.